Now, imagine at the age of 19 having to decide to get your leg amputated. Well, that was the decision that our next guest had to make. Tiernan O'Donnell is in our Cork studio. Good afternoon, Tiernan.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're a Paralympian. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But that's a big decision to make at such a young age, Tiernan.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was a decision I was kind of pushed into a corner to make. You know, my illness started when I was 5 years old, and I spent the next 15 years or 14 years in hospital, and a lot of operations and unsuccessful procedures. Later, I was in a position where my only option was to choose to amputate. And I think I was at a good age to make that decision, and I understood what it meant and what I was about to go through. And yeah, it's turned out to be the best decision I've ever made.
Mm. And I suppose because all of your interaction with medical professionals who are adults over the years, you were probably mature beyond your 19 years.
Yeah, I think like growing up in hospital, I saw a lot of things and had to experience a lot of things that maybe some young kids don't have to face at such a young age. And it forced me to grow up. And I had an older brother that was very sick growing up as well. And I saw how he battled through it and he came out the other side. So he was a big inspiration for me to keep on fighting and, yeah, get through it all.
So you've a rare condition. When you were diagnosed in America, you were only the 16th person in the world to be diagnosed with this.
Yeah, so it's effectively a tumour. It's a fibroadipose vascular anomaly. So it was basically described to me as a tumour that engulfed. It started in the back of my knee. And it, by the time I amputated the leg, it had spread the right the way down through to my heel and just under my glute. So it had engulfed the whole leg. And through all of those surgeries, it just left the leg not very useful anymore. So, yeah.
And the initial discovery of it was quite innocuous. You fell as a five-year-old, was that it?
Yeah, so I was a perfectly normal five-year-old trying to be sporty, and I came home from a sports day on my last day of junior infants, and I came home with a limp, and we just kind of, well, my parents at the time just put it down to overexertion or a bad tackle, but it turned out to be something a little more sinister, and the limp didn't go away, and that was the beginning of many, many years in hospital and many procedures to try sort out the issue.
And all through it, you continued that drive to be sporty.
Yeah, yeah. I tried for as long as I could to keep up hurling. I'm from Limerick, so hurling is the first love, and I think it'll always be my first love. So I tried to play that for as long as possible, but I hit kind of 10 years old, and the teachers had to stop putting me in corner forward because I'd try to get stuck in and I'd just get hurt.
Right.
And so there was a couple of years in my life where I was missing that. That sport, that I was missing something in my life. And through wheelchair basketball that came to my school, I discovered this whole new world of Paralympic sport that I didn't even realize I was entitled to play with my disability at the time. This was pre-amputation. And I tried wheelchair basketball that day and never got out of the wheelchair. And that was like all I wanted to do. I wanted to go to the Paralympics. And that's kind of what I've set my goals for the last 10 years and or 12 years now, and I finally made it.
And at what level did you play Paralympic basketball?
I played internationally in Europe. I captained a few under-23 Irish teams. We won a bit of silverware over in Europe as well, and played professionally over in America for a brief stint. I've played at as high a level in wheelchair basketball as one can, I think.
Yeah. And did you become disgruntled with it or what happened?
Yeah, I think with the wheelchair basketball, we were a little bit off the Paralympic level. We were a couple divisions down from the Paralympic level. And
as in making it to the Olympics?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. We were a few steps off making it to the Paralympics. And I was 24, thinking I was getting old. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to make it to the Paralympics, I've got to make a move. And you know, find a sport that suits me, and I got to pursue it in a solo career to maximize my opportunity to get there. Yeah, so that's where I kind of started to explore new para sports.
Mm.
I went to try blade running, and that was something I really, really wanted to do as an amputee. It's like the coolest thing you can do. But I was told that it's 25,000 euros to get started. So instantly, as a student, I was like, I don't have 25,000 euros to spend on a leg and try out a new sport. So it kind of went back on the back burner for a little while. And then I got a DM on Instagram from a girl called Katie O'Brien, and it turned out to be the most important DM I've probably ever received. She asked me, did I ever consider rowing as an option? And rowing wasn't something I had ever seen as a sporting option for me. I didn't even know they had para rowing. And so I kind of fobbed it off for a little while, and then eventually she convinced me to watch her race in the national indoors in Limerick. And she broke the world record, and she was disappointed with the time because she had gone faster in training. And that was that exact moment was like, okay, this is the person I was looking for. This is my ticket to Paris. And
you saw yourself in Katie.
Yeah, absolutely. I told myself, if I can work as hard as her and be as determined as she is, there's nothing stopping us from getting to the Paralympics.
Had you ever rowed before?
Never, no. Never. The first time I ever rowed was, I was in the University of Limerick. I walked from my last exam, from the exam hall in UL to the boathouse in UL. And 30 minutes after I finished my engineering degree, I started my rowing career, and still haven't used that engineering degree yet. But the rowing has it's paying dividends now, I suppose.
And you have the Olympics in LA in your crosshairs. That's what your everything, every focus, every thought is about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, going into Paris, it was a long slog to get to Paris, and I was kind of thinking maybe I'll go one games and then call it there and pursue my engineering career, because it's something I'm really passionate about. Mm. But I was in the Olympic Village for 1 hour, and I was like, I have to do this again. Like, I can't not do this again. So I finished my competition in Paris, and we finished quite early. So then I stayed to watch the rest of the athletes competing and winning a lot of medals. And I was like, I have to stay part of this movement. This is a magical thing. So I'm definitely there for LA.
Right. You're driven. You're a driven young man. And I see you're confident that you can medal in LA.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, Katie.
What gives you the confidence?
Yeah, so Katie is the world record holder in our event, in the single event, both on the erg, which is the land version, and on the water. And I think she didn't have a great season last year with a lot of injuries leading into the games. So we actually only got into the boat a couple of weeks before competing. So it wasn't optimal. But I think if we have a healthy Katie and me with a lot more experience in a couple of years and a lot more training behind me, I think we both have the potential to be podium
right.
Potential. Yeah.
Now, when you came back from Paris, you'd broken your prosthetic. And what happened there?
Yeah, so my prosthetic was falling apart before the games, but right. It was 63,000 euros to get a new one. And
63,000?
Yes. Well, that you can go even more expensive than that, but that was the quote I was given, was 63,000 euros.
So what's so special about your prosthetic?
So my prosthetic is a microprocessing knee. So it right. has a computer system inside it that helps me walk. It aids me walking. It tries to mimic what I'm doing with my left leg. And it's the standard in Europe. Like every other nation in Europe, this is the standard.
When you say it's the standard, well, people get it for free, do they? Or
yeah, people get it as part of the health system in their respective countries.
Right.
And it's something that we aren't doing here in Ireland. And it's something that I want to use my platform to create a bit of noise about this and drive up the standard for other amputees in Ireland, because I have my prosthetic, and my prosthetic is good for the next 7 or 8 years. So,
how did you get it?
Through Sport Ireland and through Paralympics Ireland, and yes. Only because of who I am, and you know, the fact that I'm a Paralympian has allowed me to get the support from Sport Ireland and from Paralympics Ireland as an investment towards LA 2028.
Right.
So this was a sporting investment for them, and you know, they want to see me succeed as an athlete, but there are so many amputees in Ireland that do not have the platform I have and do not have the support systems that I have just because I'm fortunate enough to be a Paralympian. So that's why I want to use what I my platform and stuff like that to create change and allow amputees in Ireland to get the same prosthetic as me like they deserve, even if you're not a Paralympian.
And you're saying that's the standard in a lot of European countries?
Yeah, yeah. Like I, since I've started this whole kind of movement to try create this change, my DMs are full on Instagram and emails and text messages about people didn't even realize that this wasn't this was the case in Ireland. In the UK, it's completely different. In Germany, in the Netherlands, Australia, I've heard so many stories about people and they can't understand why prosthetics are deemed a luxury in Ireland.
When is your next big competition, Tiernan?
I'm exactly a month out from my next competition. I'm competing at the World Cup in Varese in Italy, so just outside Milan. So it should be a good one.
And that's solo?
That's solo at the moment, yeah. And we're working on getting the double back once Katie is fighting fit and healthy.
Right. Well, there's a name we'll be hearing a lot more of in the years to come. Tiernan O'Donnell, Paralympian rower. Tiernan, thanks so much for talking to us today. Thanks for coming into our Cork studio.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah.